1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know it's hot when I can take off my suit coat. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Lord God, we ask that thou wouldst be with me as I preach. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst send thy Holy Spirit upon me, that I'd be able to preach efficiently and effectively. Lord, we also ask that thou wouldst send thy Holy Spirit upon the people, that they would be able to understand what I am trying to say. Give unto them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the sermon is, "Do This in Remembrance of Me." Imagine, for example, you're Pulani from South Africa, and here she comes and she arrives in America, and she opens up the paper to figure out what Memorial Day is. Well, Memorial Day obviously means time to buy a new car, because you see the advertisements are all over the place. Buy a new car, Memorial Day sale. Or is it to buy a new mattress? Because there are plenty of those. Or perhaps it meant to buy a new clothes, or maybe even a new refrigerator. We have to buy something. And don't forget, this is tax-free season. So if you buy, you automatically get that 6% discount. So perhaps that is what they think Memorial Day is. Or tomorrow, you can go to Portsmouth. And what's special about Portsmouth is that is the very first parade for Memorial Day. It started back in 1884, and you will see lots of old cars go by. You'll see people in costumes march by. You will see firemen. Once in a while, you'll see some military guys. But what's important is that they throw candy to the kids. And so you have to figure out, is this what Memorial Day is? Perhaps candy for the kids and a parade. Or perhaps it is the first unofficial day of summer. So perhaps this is where you can go get a barbecue and fresh corn on the cob. I would contend that if you really wanted to go, there was an Albert G. Horton memorial service. Albert G. Horton, there's a memorial service at Albert G. Horton's cemetery out in Suffolk. And I think that's at 10 o'clock, Al? At 10 o'clock. And there you'll get much more of a real meaning of what it means to be a memorial service. The origin of memorial service started back in 1866. And that was women throughout both the North and the South decorated the graves of the fallen people with flowers. And it caught on fairly quickly. And by the 30th of May, it was pretty much official that they wanted to go. And we also have that in the Christian religion. We have a memorial day with the Lord's Supper. And with the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of confusion of what it's all about. So I want to reread this passage from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, first of all, I'm going to give you three items of how the Memorial Day is very much like what we have in the Lord's Supper. There is a direct correlation between the two. And the first thing is, Memorial Day is for those who died. It's not for those who served in the military. Just because you're a veteran does not mean that this is Memorial Day is for you. Memorial Day is for those who actually died. That first, when the women went out, they put the flowers on the graves. It wasn't hanging wreaths on the troops coming home. That was not Memorial Day. Memorial Day is for those who died. And that's why we do it at a cemetery. It's in remembrance of those who died for the country. It's not for the injured, the blamed, the lying. If, in other words, if you lost a leg, that is not what this day is for. Memorial Day is not for sales. It's not for those who have been blinded. It's not for those who have had a bad experience in the war. War is horrible. They say war is hell. And it really is. I mean, it's gross and it's disgusting, and that's what happens during war. People are killing other people, and bad things happen to human flesh. And so Memorial Day is for those who have actually died. Veterans Day, we have a Veterans Day for that. But Memorial Day is for those. And there's an expression that says, all give some gave all. In other words, all of us are going to participate and help. It may be as simple as working with our taxes. It may be being part of the military, but never actually having to die for your country. But there are some who gave all. And that is what Memorial Day is for. In the same way, the Lord's Supper is for the one, Jesus Christ, who died and gave all. So if you take a look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, it says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So the Lord's Supper is talking about the Lord's death, not his coming. Next. So when Christ comes, we have an entire holiday set aside for that. That's Christmas. Christ living among men. We don't have a holiday for that. And Memorial Day is not about that. You have to think about when Christ walked the earth, he met with some really stupid people. I mean, he would perform miracles, and did they believe? No. And you go, you know, you just saw a person get risen from the dead. You know, you look at the book of Mark, and there's miracles after miracles, and the people saying, are you really the Christ? Yes, yes, I really am. But that's not what Memorial Day is for. It's not when Christ was judged, or when he was beaten, or when he had the crown of thorns put on his head. That's not what Memorial Day is about. Or it's about his resurrection. We have an entire holiday set aside for the resurrection, and that's called Easter. And then this coming Thursday, we have Ascension Day service. We're going to celebrate Christ going up into heaven. But what Memorial Day is about Christ dying. Physically, literally dying on the cross. And the blood is not a transfusion. When it talks about his blood, it's not like, you know, he gave a transfusion and here, you've got a pint of Christ's blood and that will make you well. No, Christ physically had to die on the cross. So take a look at take a look at 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When he's saying, here is my body, he's not talking about, you know, I am here with you. He's saying, no, my body has been sacrificed for you. I am literally going to die for you. And he goes on and he says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Once again, this is not a transfusion. This is Christ dying for us. So just as the Memorial Day, we celebrate the soldier who has died, so in the Lord's Supper, there's a direct parallel in the fact that Christ has died. The second thing is the soldier willingly died. 94% of all the northern soldiers were volunteers, and they did not shirk their duty. As a matter of fact, they would eagerly go forward and grab the flag. What does that mean? What happened during the war between the states, or the war, is that the soldier in the front line would take the flag and he would wave it and he would encourage his guys forward. And what the enemy would do is they would fire towards the guy who had taken the flag. So when the flag would drop, another guy would run forward, grab the flag, and then he would march forward. And he would get shot. There are recorded instances of 20 people being killed like in an hour's time. So they, when they would grab the flag, they knew that their chances of living were very small. But they would grab the flag and they would willingly run forward with that flag and wave it and say, "Come on, folks, let's go. Let's go get the other, go get the enemy." In the same way, Christ willingly went forward to his death. He was a volunteer. And if you take a look at that in John 10, Book of John, and we'll pick it up in John 10, verse 14. Very familiar passage. And he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And then in verse 15, "Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So just as in the war, the soldiers would charge forward knowing that they would probably die, so also Christ laid down his life. He could have walked away, but Christ was willing to do the sacrifice. He says, again in verse 17, he says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." So Christ willingly went to the cross. Just like that soldier would grab the flag and charge knowing that he would probably get killed, so also Christ willingly took the flag and crucified himself. He knew what was coming. And he willingly said, "I am going to lay down my life." He talks in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And then in John 18, verse 36, in John 18, verse 36, he is having this discussion with Pilate. And Pilate says to him, "What is it that you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews." So he says, "Hey, I have people, angels, that can beat you, your Roman guards and the Jews, but my kingdom's not of this world, so I am willingly going to die." That is the type of the person that we have. So we know that Christ died and the soldiers died. We know that they willingly died, and thirdly, they willingly died for a purpose. So when you take a look at the soldiers, they knew that they would have to, that they were fighting for a purpose. They were not accidentally killed, for example, back home in a farming accident. The soldiers, when they went into battle, they knew they were fighting for a purpose. It wasn't like this guy just happened to die because he had a heart attack or it was an accident. No, they knew they were going into battle and they were willingly going to die for a purpose, to accomplish an objective. In the same way, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 11, Christ says this, "This is my body, which is for you." In other words, this body, which is for you, he's specifically saying, I am dying for you. I'm not just dying, but I'm dying for a purpose. I'm dying to save you, to help you. So there is the soldier, as with Jesus Christ, willingly died for a purpose. It wasn't an accident. It was very, very deliberate. The second thing is, it's like a Passover. It's to set us free. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, he says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" If you remember, in the Old Testament, there was the Passover. And what they did with the Passover lamb is they killed the Passover lamb, and then they sprinkled the blood on either side of the doorpost, as well as over on the top frame. And so when Christ, when the Israelites were in Egypt, the killing of this lamb and placing the blood on the doorpost and on the top lintel meant that they were now free from bondage of Egypt. Passover came and the Egyptians got killed, the firstborn got killed, and the Egyptians let the Israelites go. Christ, when he says this is a new covenant, what he is saying is that he is going to be the Passover lamb and he is going to die for the purpose of setting the people free. And the people being free are not free from the Egyptians. The new people we are now free from sins. He has redeemed us, and because he has redeemed us, we are now free from our sins. So those are the similarities of Christ and the soldiers willingly dying for a purpose. For Christ, he willingly laid down his life for a purpose, which is to set us free. There are three major differences. The first one is the source. Memorial Day was established by the women who went and decorated the graves. There are Columbus. Let me just get these a second. There is Columbus. There is Macon, Georgia. Richmond, Virginia. All claim to be the place where Memorial Day started. The women went out and they put the flowers on the graves in 1866, sometime in April, some of them were in May. In addition, there are a lot of other northern cities who did the same. In fact, there are 25 different cities in the country which claim to be the start of Memorial Day. All of them going out, the women going out and decorating the grave. What's fascinating is that during the war, the soldiers knew the war was coming, so they enlisted, they volunteered, and they went off to war. When they went into a battle, they had no idea whether they were going to survive that battle or whether they were going to die. They just knew that they were going into battle. When they came home, that was in 1865, the following year, 1866, the women started, and by placing flowers and decorations on the graves. What's interesting is that in the Lord's Supper, it is Christ who institutes this sacrament. It's not that Mary, Martha, and Mary the mother of Jesus got together and said, "Oh, you know, Jesus died last year. We're going to go and start this Lord's Supper." No. It's not like Peter, James, and John got together and said, "Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to start a tradition of honoring Jesus who died for us." It wasn't the 11 apostles who got together. No, what's very fascinating is in the Memorial Day services, the women honor the slain. In the Lord's Supper, it's the slain one. It's Christ who says, let's start this. It's Christ who institutes the Lord's Supper. The second thing is, it's optional in Memorial Day. So tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I would encourage you to go to a cemetery and honor those who have fallen. But if you don't, you can at 0600 tomorrow morning, you can go into Home Depot, and you can go into Lowe's, and you can start shopping. Starbucks will definitely be open. The movie theaters are absolutely wanting people to come and buy their tickets. Congress, in 1971, said that the fourth Monday of the month of May will be Memorial Day. But it's basically optional. If you don't want to go to the cemetery, nobody's going to sit there and force you and say, you have got to go. This is different than what we have in the Lord's Supper. So take a look in this Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, because it's fascinating. Paul writes in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." I received from the Lord. So at some point, Paul received information from the Lord. Now, how it happened, I don't know. I suspect it did not happen on the way to Damascus. But whether it was another vision, whether it was when he got caught up into heaven, whether the Lord came to him in a dream, whether he saw the Lord, I don't know how it happened. I do know that it says in the Bible, "For I received from the Lord." Paul is stating very specifically, folks, I have this command. Now, this expression, "I have received from the Lord," is found nowhere else in the Bible. "I received from the Lord," this is the only time that Paul says this. He says, "I received from the Lord." This is important. Pay attention, folks. Then, when you look down, it says, "On the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do. That's an imperative word. That's a command. Christ is saying, do this. This is not optional. He is saying, when you do the Lord's Supper, you do this in remembrance of me. The other interesting fact is, this "do this in remembrance of me" happens not just once, but it happens twice. Take a look in verse 25. "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me.'" So two times it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Two times the Lord is specifically commanding the people, do this. This is command. So the Memorial Day, it's an optional whether you go to the cemetery. I highly encourage you to do it, but I can't command you to do that. That's up to you. Congress can't command you to do that. Congress just says, this is when it's going to be. And if you open up the newspaper yesterday, how many articles did you see about the Memorial Day services? Anybody? They're not there. So this is, as I said, completely different. When the Lord is telling us, he is saying very specifically, do this. It's a command. The second thing is the sequence. In Memorial Day services, the women gathered together after the war had been fought. They laid the flowers in 1866. This was after the war. What's fascinating is that Christ does it before his death. Christ hasn't even died yet. It says, on the night he was betrayed. So on the night he was betrayed, before he's even been betrayed, before he's been crucified, Christ says, I want you to do this Lord's Supper. This is a very, very special thing. Memorial Day is a response to the dead. The soldiers have died, therefore the women put the flowers on the graves. In the Lord's Supper, it's reverse. The Lord says, I am going to die, and to celebrate this, to proclaim my death, this is what I want you to do. A radically different perspective. Why is that? because the soldiers were not omniscient. They had no idea if they were going to survive the war or not. Christ knew very specifically that he was going to die that night. And he said, I want you to commemorate my death, to celebrate my death, because I have redeemed you. I came willingly and died for a purpose. The third thing are the symbols. And one more. So my question is, I love barbecue ribs and corn on the cob. I love it on Memorial Day. But what does barbecue ribs and corn on the cob have to do with Memorial Day? Is there any linkage? I can't think of any linkage. Next. How about lollipops from the kids that are thrown to the kids? What does a lollipop have to do with Memorial Day? How does eating M&Ms remind you of those who have died? How about that bag of Skittles that the Shriners will throw to you? What does Skittles have to do with Memorial Day? There's no correlation between the two. For Christ and the Lord's Supper, He gives us tangible things. What you have to remember is that Christianity is both spiritual and heavenly, but there's also a physical element to it. You as Christians are not just some spiritual angels flying around. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Lord came and died for angels. Nowhere does it say that. It does say that the Lord came and He died for humans. And He died for humans, and we are flesh and blood, and Christ died a flesh and blood death. Now, to help us remember, He gives us wedding rings. Right, Polani? So on their wedding day, they exchange rings. Are the rings the marriage? No. But the rings, what they do say are, Polani says to Philip, something like, with thee I wed thee. With this I wed thee, something like that. You had a longer version, I remember. I don't remember it all. But when they exchanged rings, they were saying, this is a token of my love towards you. Now, when Polani and Philip exchanged their wedding rings, the wedding rings, that's not marriage. Marriage is much more than a piece of silver or gold or diamonds. Marriage is much more intense than that. But that exchanging of wedding rings is a symbol, it's a help to us, to help us understand that we are in fact married. So Christ knows that we are of flesh, and He wants to help us get better. And so He uses all five senses for the Lord's Supper. The first thing is we have the proclamation of the Word. That's what I'm doing now, and that's what we'll be doing next Sunday. But also, when you take that Lord's Supper, you can smell the elements. You can taste. You physically can taste the bread. That's telling us the Lord gives these elements to us to help us encourage our faith. And that's why the Lord says, once again in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, physical loaf of bread. He breaks that bread. He gives that bread to the apostles. And it says, in the same way after supper, He took the cup. And He says, this cup is a new covenant. He could have just spoken. He could have just said, hey folks, just remember me. But He wants to encourage our spiritual life. And He encourages our spiritual life by giving us physical things that we can see, that we can taste, that we can touch, that we can smell. So He gives us these elements and He says, this, do this in remembrance of me. So next Sunday, when we go forth and we have our Lord's Supper and we join together, we'll be passing out these elements. And He's telling us, I trust your faith. I want your faith to grow. And here is a physical, tangible something that you can eat, so that you will understand a little bit of who I am. So the similarities between the two are both the soldiers and Christ died. Both of them willingly died. And both of them willingly died for a purpose. The differences are that the source, the women in the Memorial Day got together after the battles were done and they decorated the graves. Christ, the slain one, not the women, not the apostles, but Christ says, I am going to institute, I'm going to start this Lord's Supper. And this supper is for his death. It was prior to his death. And the bread and the cup are to help our unbelief. So next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So I ask you to remember these things, pray about them, and help prepare yourself so that when we come next week to the Lord's Supper, you'll experience the fullness of Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Lord God, we thank Thee that Thou art our Savior. We thank Thee that Thou hast died willingly on the cross to save us from our sins. We thank Thee that Thou art different from the Memorial Day, that Thou wast in complete control. Thou knewest that the manner of Thy death. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou didst go through that death. In Jesus' name, amen.